Okay, well, I'm gonna try not to spend too much time introducing, but I have this. So, is it a thing that people pin money to you on your birthday? Oh, well, okay. First, I want to thank everybody for showing up. Thank you. This is a great crowd. I'm so happy to see all of you here. And thanks to Joan and Jimmy and Dawn for setting this up, and Hemingway's for having us. Okay. So, oh, and one more thing. I want to plug Michael's book again. You should definitely pre-order it. I've read probably all the stuff in there through squirrels. Oh, I should thank the squirrels. You guys are so supportive. And I'm really glad to be part of this group of people. So, okay. Michael's book, and I have a book. I have a few more. Hope's White Shoes. It's 9 years old. It's not fresh like his, but I have some books. If anybody wants some, come see me after. All right, I'm going to get started. Heirlooms. I don't have a plan for how to pass each day, but by the time I've finished the musts and needs, then filled in the rest with wastes and wants, whole strands of hours hang blue-beaded, identical. Earths between my fingers, weather forecasts fulfilled by how light hits them, where waves or lava break, the parade of pets to scattered graves. These are only jewels. It is not vain to wear them. Flaws repeated like a thumbnail's warped corner that tears in the same spot, tears and regrows weak. It is cowardly, the way I loop these days within each other to lock inside a drawer, to keep at bay my inner nun who nightly counts and clutches, squeezes sorrow from routine. Trickling down her arms, the small occlusive sin of throwing heirlooms in the lake, piece by piece. I am going to do a couple of fairy tale ones, and then, okay. So, yeah, I'm going to do two fairy tale ones and then end with a brand new one. Very, very new. To live in the woods. Try to explain how you escaped, how you didn't know the pitcher of blood you drank was your grandmother's, how you could spend an hour in the woods chasing forget-me-nots as the sun set, how a beast could seem like a friendly neighbor, how your mother could send you alone. Nothing frightens villagers more than a lone girl in a torn cloak. All the wolves home for supper, their wives sending signals up chimneys. When you tire of roots and squirrel meat, blame the huntsman's lazy patrols for pushing predators so deep among trees. Blame the stupid beauty of flowers that nod at you knowingly as the path grows thin. Blame your grandmother's blood. Blame the wolf you've become. This one is going to be, I'm really excited about this, so I just have to say it. It's going to be in Dreams and Nightmares. It's a science fiction mag this fall, I think. So, Hansel and Gretel in space. Rations of freeze-dried pumpernickel, then into the hammocks where Father buckled them snug and began a tale of the good prince and princess who had no adventures and plenty to eat. They woke adrift, bumping the walls of an escape pod. Hansel called out, knowing his parents would not answer. 3 days of fuel, their best toys and games, no bread, no hydroponics, of course. Mother and father have cloaked the ship, Gretel said from the instrument grid. You can't know that, not for sure. Hansel flung himself across the small cabin. Outside, space crackled like freezing fire. They sucked smooth stones gathered on planets in happier times, floated mostly, slept shifts in the foam-lined pilot seat. In the end, they watched sensor readings tickering by. They held hands, sat still. On screen, a planet, a distant dot. In silence, they laid a course using all the fuel. A new light filled their pod. Soon the children could see brown and white and coral bands, and as they drew close, the flawed red eye. Once more, Gretel reached for Hansel's hand. "You take the chocolate and butterscotch parts," she said. "I want the icing and cherry." Hansel smiled. "Sister, we will have plenty to share." This last one is super new, so I'm going to try it out on all you guys. Keyhole. It's my prerogative while dumb and still young to pull off dangerous feats such as biking the park trail at night, luxuriating in the new absence of a worrier at home. "I see you," I tell a man's blur of plaid shorts as I slow, and think it's the most comfort one human can give another. Albino trees in my wavering beam, I keep that keyhole on the path as best I can. I encounter only a cat-sized, seemingly three-legged shape chimping across the gravel far ahead, far enough to leave off my brake. It has been an unaccountably hard day that found me compelled to read those last emails, sifting for insight. How could it happen? Why am I glad? So far, I choose the adventures I'll survive. Thank you. I forgot to say that Aaron Garska's next.